I remember the first time in my life that I really understood that someone that I loved had died. I was 10 years old, and my grandpa Jim, on my mom's side, died of cancer. And I remember weeping because I loved him so much. I was so close to him. My next meaningful encounter with death wouldn't be until I was a junior in high school. Within a few months, four people that I knew in my school died. One had committed suicide, and three had died in two separate car accidents. And these deaths made their mark on me. But if I'm truly honest about them, I was able to move on pretty quickly. I don't remember the exact date of their passing. I don't remember where I was when I heard the news. I was young, self-centered, naive. Then, 8 years ago, my son Titus died at birth. And I realized then that I had never truly tasted death. That it had never truly stung me so deeply. Titus' death tore through my veins. It ripped through my soul and etched itself into my bones. It's where I learned to hate death. The finality of it. The despair of it. The lack of control I felt. The lack of power that I felt. The closer in we are to those who have died, the more loved they are by us, the more profound, the more intense the mark their passing leaves on us. And it causes us to wrestle inside. There's a part of us that wants to forget it altogether. To forget them, to forget the passing, the tragedy, to run away from its memory. But to do that would be to feel like we're abandoning the one we love so much. And so reluctantly, we let ourselves remember. We let ourselves feel. We allow ourselves to relive the pain, the tragedy, the trauma. Why do we do that? Because we love them. They are real to us. They matter to us. So then, how close in are we to Jesus? To Christ? How intimately are we connected to his death? Is it easy for us to sort of glibly come near because in our youthful naivety and our lack of intimacy with Christ, we are unaffected like spectators at a funeral of someone we don't truly know? Or are we even passively indifferent? Maybe we're critical or offended or cynical in some way of the claims of Jesus Christ and the cross. And so we don't just come near idly, but we sort of keep our distance. See, for those of us who know him, who know Jesus, we wrestle, don't we? We come tonight and we're wrestling with the tension of, in some sense, not wanting to experience Jesus' death again. We rightly hear the narrative and read the narrative, and we're hoping that somehow the end will be different. I mean, we wrestle with wanting to avoid, to maintain our distance, but we know we can't do that because we're too intimately connected to who Christ is. And we know that if we kept our distance, that would mean it didn't matter. But it does matter to us. We want to come near the death of Christ because he's our friend, he's our brother, he's our father. So tonight we're welcomed into the occasion of Christ's death. We're going to talk about the occasion of his death. We're invited to reflect on the manner of his death. And finally, and therefore, the implication of Christ's death. The occasion of Christ's death was Passover. This is a yearly festival for the Jewish people, commemorating the deliverance of them out of the land of Egypt centuries before. And during this time, Jerusalem would swell from about 35,000 people to over 300,000. Jewish pilgrims from all over the Mediterranean would descend upon Jerusalem, not only to celebrate and worship, but to express their longing for a rescue of the same magnitude as the deliverance from Egypt. Why? Because they were under Roman rule, much like they were under Pharaoh in Egypt. You might hear them traveling on the road, singing Psalm 118. They might sing, "When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down." And if these pilgrims thought there was a chance that the Messiah was coming, if they thought maybe this would be the year, the Passover year, where the Lord would finally deliver them, then as they sang, they would add the words, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And this year they had reason to sing those words. Jesus had made a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. They knew that he was there. Now, because of such a large number of people coming into Jerusalem, there would be two separate powers at the time that were on extremely high alert. The Roman authorities, in this case, a prefect or a governor named Pontius Pilate, who represented Rome, would travel to Jerusalem during this time. He lived about 75 miles northwest of Jerusalem in Caesarea, but he would travel to Jerusalem specifically for this occasion to help maintain order. And he would bring army troops with him, Roman soldiers. So Rome was on alert. But also the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders of the time, were also on high alert because they were charged with maintaining order among the people. And Jesus' entry into Jerusalem at this time and in this place posed a threat to both of those powers. Specifically, the Jewish leaders. Jesus threatened their power. He rebuked them. He entered the temple and judged it to be a failure. He called their temple a pile of stones. He made statements about their leadership. He called them disobedient, wicked shepherds of God's people. And they, in turn, accused Jesus of blasphemy because he had claimed to be God. And Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16 says, "Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death." And Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22 says, "And if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God." And so the leaders determined to have him killed. That's the occasion of Christ's death. The manner of Christ's death was crucifixion. He was hung on a cross to die. It's the most horrible and horrific death, perhaps, in all of history, certainly at the time, One commentator writes, "No other form of death, no matter how prolonged or physically agonizing, could match crucifixion as an absolute destruction of a person." The Roman poet Cicero said, "The most cruel and hideous of tortures." The very name cross should not only be far from the body of a Roman citizen, but also from his thoughts, his eyes, and his ears. To not even go near crucifixion physically, but also mentally, emotionally. The manner of Christ's death would begin with a scourging of his body, leading to deep arterial bleeding, thorns piercing the vascular tissue of his head, leading to severe dehydration and cardiorespiratory failure. It's likely that Jesus' body would go into shock, that he would have so much loss of blood on account of carrying his own cross, his muscles being pushed beyond endurance, he would fall to his knees, the wooden beam gouging into his lacerated skin and the muscles of his shoulders. We know that to be hung on the cross, his hands and his feet would be hammered in with nails, putting pressure on the median nerve, which would cause fiery pain to shoot along his fingers up into his arms, bursting into the rest of his body. He suffered muscular paralysis. He experienced what's called orthostatic hypotension, a low blood pressure that leads to nausea, to dizziness, to seizures. It's likely that he experienced organ failure, the bones in his arms dislocating. Jesus' death was as humiliating as it was painful. He was naked, laid bare, alone. Isaiah rightly reflects on Jesus' death in Isaiah 52, verse 14, when he says, "His appearance was so marred, he was beyond human semblance." This is the way in which Jesus would die. And finally, the implication of Christ's death is that his death must become mine and become yours. Christ's death must somehow be closer to us, more intimately acquainted with us than any death that we've experienced. The closest of friends, the closest of relatives. I'm invited to be closer to Christ's death than even the death of my own son, Titus. Christ's death must take my death from me. My own death must be swallowed up in, taken up in Christ's death. Why? Why must I be so acquainted with this? Why must my story and his story be so intimately connected? The reason is because I stand guilty before a holy God. That God's wrath is rightly pointed towards me because I have actively rebelled against him. I have chosen over and over to reach up and pull Jesus down off of his heavenly throne, place myself there, declaring myself the King and the Lord of my life. I must admit this is true and admit that because of this, I deserve to die. I am deserving of death. Now, I don't like this, and you probably don't like this. I would rather view my sin and my shame as something that I can distance myself from. I want to be much more like that funeral of that person I barely know, an acquaintance at best. The memory of a death that I can choose to remember or forget at will. A death that feels like it's in my control. I want my life and I want my death to remain in my power. This is my default response to death. I war against it. I set my will against it. I am in charge. I am in control. This is my domain. I will prolong death. Jesus says, you can't do that. You will fail to do that. Your death is impending. You cannot choose out of your death. You can choose into mine. That is your only choice. Jesus is bringing his death closer to us tonight. Even though we would be bystanders, but we would be away from it, he would draw us near. He'd say, I want you to see it. I want you to touch it. I want you to taste it. And he's saying, because I want to show you something about my death. Dave read it earlier in John chapter 10. Jesus says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Will you let yourself come in near? Will you let yourself get up close to the Lord's death? Will we receive the intimacy of that? Will we recognize our need, the requirement of his death, Jesus' death, to atone for us, to exchange our death? Will you let yourself remember? And will you let his death change you? Will you let it change you forever? I invite you to pray with me. Jesus, we confess that we don't. There's nothing in us that wants to come near any death, specifically yours. Perhaps we are disconnected or apathetic tonight, or confused or disinterested. But Jesus, you have drawn us in here. You've drawn us to this place. You've wanted to share again with us the narrative of your suffering. You've invited us to hear and to listen, Father, that we might receive grace and mercy, that we might lay our life down and die so that we can be resurrected with you, Jesus. I pray you would let the tension sit with us tonight, that we would reflect on your death, even for another day. We thank you that we look ahead to Sunday. We have the joy coming, truth of your resurrection, Father.